Welcome everyone to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. Isn't that good news? Hallelujah. We've been on a series called Transformation Breaking Out of the Mold. And so, I guess one of the big pictures, one of the big word pictures that we have is the caterpillar. The caterpillar, right? The caterpillar can only move along so fast and only go so far in its present state as a caterpillar. But when it builds this cocoon and then it gets itself all wrapped up and then begins to change, there's a change that happens. There's a change that happens. And in this change, it begins to outgrow the cocoon and it busts out of the cocoon. And to everybody's surprise, right, it's a butterfly. It's got wings, it's got color, it's no longer got so many feet. How did that happen? How did that happen? I mean, God is just amazing. It happened in the cocoon. What is it? It's transformation. Transformation. And so we're talking about transformation. Why? Well, because Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this. Let's see. I'm going to read it out of the ERV. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says, "Don't change yourself to be like the people of this world, but let God change you inside with a new way of thinking. Then you will be able to understand and accept what God wants for you. You will be able to know what is good and pleasing to Him and what is perfect." Hallelujah. Let's see. Let's go. The CEB. "Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed." Right? Transformation. God wants transformation in our lives. He loves us for who we are. He loves us where we're at. But then you know what? He loves us so much, He does not want us to be stayed or left or kept the way we're at. He's got better things for us. He's got big things for us. The Bible says He's already thought the thoughts and planned the plans for our peace, for our welfare, for our prosperity, for our success, not of evil or of harm, but to give us an expected end and a hopeful future. That's Jeremiah 29:11. He's got some big things for us. Jesus said, "I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." Amen? He's got more for us. A more abundant life. Good things. Good things. And so it's going to require transformation. Right? If we want to experience change, if we want to experience something better, it's going to require change or transformation. The Philip says this, "Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold, but let God remold your minds from within." That's what this transformation is about. "So then you will be able to prove in practice that the plan of God for you is good, meets all His demands, and moves towards the goal of true maturity." God wants us to continue to grow up, to mature in Him. Amen? The New Living says, "Don't copy the behavior of the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect." Hallelujah. That is such good, good, encouraging news. We found out that transformation is a process. It does not happen overnight. It's not just one action. It is a process. It takes time. And we are not stuck. So the encouragement about this process is that we're not stuck, right? If we will work the process, if we will take the action and work the process of renewing our minds in the process of time or over the process of time, we will experience transformation. Therefore, we've been saying this, our best days are not behind us, but ahead of us. Amen? If we will continue the transformation process. And then I ask these three questions. How much of the abundant life are you willing to believe God for? That's a personal question. Question number two is, do you believe God loves you enough to bring this to pass? It's also another personal question. that we must figure out for ourselves. And we talked about that. He most certainly does. And number two, he does love us. He loves us more than enough. But do we believe that? I guess that's really the question. You know, no matter how much he loves us, if we don't believe it, we hinder ourselves. We become our own stumbling block, our own hindrance. The question number three was, do you love yourself enough to even expect to receive it? So that's another good question to ponder and to work on as part of transformation, answering these three questions for ourselves. Then we found out identity. Identity is very important. And for example, the butterfly never wants to go back to a caterpillar. A butterfly that acts like a caterpillar is confused. There's no need for a butterfly to act like a caterpillar. Amen? It's got wings. Fly. Fly, baby, fly. Amen? Take the flight. Enjoy who we are. God has made us. He's developed us. He's designed us. He's created us. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. And so identity is very, very important. How we see ourselves enables us to move forward, or it hinders us. Transformation. We need to see ourselves the way God sees us. We've talked about the path of victory. The path of victory is the word repent. To think differently, to consider, and to change the way we think. Repent is really just the same word as renewing our minds. Change the way we think. It's a wonderful word. It's an encouraging word. It's a victory word. Repent is a victory word. We talked about the path. What? Repentance is the path to victory. Glory to God. And then we talked about, we have the choice to aim our thinking. It's our responsibility to aim our thinking. Isaiah 26:3 said, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you." We have the responsibility and the ability to aim our thinking, to choose how we think. And so that's part of the renewing of the mind, is we actually have the right and the responsibility to choose what we think. Amen? And so that's why we can renew our minds with the Word of God. We can change the way we think by renewing our minds with the Word of God. We can take God's thoughts, take His thoughts, and choose to think them. Hallelujah. Good news. And we ask the question, what do you want? What do you want? Why did I bring that up? Because Jesus asked the question. Remember John chapter 5. Do you want to be well? The guy had been sick for 38 years. Do you want to be well? The question was raised. Blind Bartimaeus, Mark chapter 10. What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? So it's very important that we understand that what we want. The woman with the issue of blood, she came to Jesus and took what she wanted. She got what she wanted. Jesus wasn't praying for the sick. He didn't have a healing line. He wasn't even teaching on healing. He's on a walk. Walking, coming out of Jericho, this big massive crowd around, and she just came up from behind. Because she'd been saying, she'd been believing God and saying, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed. She kept saying it, kept saying it, kept saying it, and then it was no longer enough to just keep saying it. She said, today I have to get myself dressed up, I got to get out the door, and I got to go to Jesus. Because today's the day. Not enough just to say it anymore. Today is my day. And she touched the hem of his garment. And the power of God, the Bible says, Jesus said, I felt it. The word is escape. The Greek word can be translated escape. The power escaped him. It literally, she yanked it right out of him. And he stopped and said, who touched me? Why? Because he wanted to hear a testimony. Obviously, something just happened. Someone by faith had just yanked the power of God out of him. There's got to be a testimony. There's got to be a story. And he wants to encourage the people. Testify, testify, testify. Hallelujah. What do you want? It's very important that we understand what we want. And then last week we talked about words. Words. Deuteronomy chapter 30 said that God has set before us life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, he said, choose life so that you and your descendants may live. Enjoy life. Choose life. Choose life. And God said, well, okay, how do we do that? How do we choose life? And then we went to Proverbs 18:21. The Bible says this, life and death are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So we found out that one of the ways that we can choose life is by choosing our words. And so, when it comes to transformation, we're going to need to choose not just to get God's thoughts in, but now we're going to have to choose to speak God's thoughts. We're going to choose to speak God's word. This is how we choose life, is we begin to speak God's word. We need to say what God says in order to get his results. Transformation. This is part of the process of transformation, is we get his thoughts. We go to his word, we find his thoughts, we put the thoughts on the inside, we renew our mind, we change the way we think, and then we change the way we speak. And the speaking part is part of the process of changing the way we think. So there's two parts. There's two sides of the coin. One side of this coin is we speak the word of God to change the way we think. That's why we're continually speaking and confessing the word of God to change the way we think. And then the other side of the coin is we're speaking God's word as a result. We're speaking from the place of faith. This is what I believe. I speak it and it creates a result. It makes a change. It causes something to happen. It causes what we're saying to come to pass. So we say it to get in and we say it to produce some results. Amen? So let's go ahead and turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3 verse 1 says this, therefore, holy brethren, family, separated, set apart. The word holy means separated, set apart. We are very precious and special. We are a holy brethren. We are holy. We are separated. We're set apart. Family. The word brethren means from the same womb. We're children of the family of God. Members of the family of God. We're holy. We're separate. Set apart. Family. Hallelujah. He's talking to the family. Partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of your confession, Christ Jesus. Consider him. Consider him. Jesus as our apostle and as the high priest, he's representing us before the Father. He's bringing offerings before the Father on our behalf. And what is that? He says the apostle and high priest of our confession. Now, interesting, the only thing that he can offer and represent before the Father would be his word. So if we want him to represent us before the Father and we want him to offer before the Father something that it's that's appropriate, we have to speak God's word. He's the high priest. He's the apostle of our confession. So what are we saying? The only stuff that Jesus is going to offer and represent before the Father, bring before the Father on our behalf, would be God's word. So we need to get God's word in us. We need to confess God's word. What do we say the word confess means? Last week we talked about it. It means to say the same thing and to agree with. To confess would be to say the same thing as God and to agree with him. Lord, I agree with you, and so I'm just saying what you said. I'm just saying what you said. I'm not trying to make up my own thing. No, I'm just saying what you said. Amen? So, the only words he can offer up to the Father are his words on our lips. So it's important that we put his words on our lips. Amen? Speaking His word. Verse 7 says, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says today, say today, today. It's very important that we understand today, now, today. This is not tomorrow, because you know what? Tomorrow never gets here. Because the moment we step into tomorrow, it's today, and tomorrow is, right, 11:59 tonight and 59 seconds. 1 second later, you know, 1 second later would be tomorrow. But that 1 second, when we step into that 1 second, all of a sudden now it becomes today. And we have to wait another 24 hours for tomorrow. Tomorrow never gets here. We're always in today. We're always in today. So we need to understand this, today, today. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear His voice, that's His word. Amen. We need to hear His word. We need to hear what He says. We need to look at His word. We need to hear what He says. Read what He says. Believe what He says. Do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion, in the day of trial in the wilderness where the fathers tested, where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works for 40 years. 40 years. And most of them still didn't get it after 40 years. So they died in the wilderness. Where your fathers tested me, tried me, and saw my works 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with that generation, and I said, they always go astray in their hearts. Now, why did they continually go astray in their hearts? And they have not known my ways. See, if we don't understand God's ways, this is, he wrote the book so we can understand His ways. Remember, we already read this, a number of weeks ago, whatever part it was. God said this. He said, my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. But you can have my ways, and you can understand my thoughts if you will get a hold of my word. He says, so shall my word be. Just like the rain that falls. So my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. So our thoughts and ways are here. His thoughts and ways are here. But He said, listen, just as the rain falls, so shall my word be. So we can get a hold of His thoughts and His ways if we will go to His word. He says, I've made my ways and I've made my thoughts available to you in my word. Please renew your mind with my word. Change the way you think to align with my word. This is my ways. These are my thoughts. But he says that they always go astray in their hearts. Why? Because they have not known my ways. They wanted to hold their own thoughts. They wanted to continue to hold to their own ways, and they continue when it went astray. So it's just get my ways, get my thoughts, and you'll not go astray. Isn't that good news? So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Beware, brethren or family. See, here's an encouragement for us. Beware. Here's a warning sign. Brethren, family, this is to us. This is not to someone outside of the family. This is to the children, the people of the family of God. Beware, brethren or family, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. So, how is an evil part expressed? How is an evil part demonstrated? It's demonstrated and revealed in unbelief and in departing from the living God. And departing from the word of the living God. Right? They didn't believe what He said. And so unbelief demonstrated an evil heart. This departing from the living God, departing from what He said, from His word. We'll find it a little bit more here, but unbelief and disobedience go hand in hand. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. We must have confidence in what God said. Our confidence is in Him and what He said. Amen? We really can't have confidence in Him without having confidence in what He said. And we really can't have confidence in what He said if we don't have confidence in Him. Do you understand that? It's, I believe you, God. I trust you, God. I have confidence in you, but I don't believe a word you say. It just doesn't work that way. Right? And this, the other one is even sillier yet. I believe everything you said, but I don't have confidence in you. How does that even work? I mean, that doesn't even make sense. So he says, listen, hold fast to your confidence, steadfast till the end. The end meaning what? Well, literally, the word end in the Greek means fulfillment. Fulfillment. So the end could be, you know, as in end of time, the fulfillment of, but really, when it comes to us, like, where does the rubber meet the road for us? Well, it will be the end. It will be what we're believing God for. Listen, God, this is what you said. I have confidence in what you said. For how long? Until it's fulfilled. Until I actually have what I'm believing you for. Until I actually get and experience what I'm trusting you for. What you said is mine. Right? So many times we've got this idea that let's just believe, once we get to heaven, everything will be fine. Why wait till heaven for everything to be fine? There's a whole bunch of stuff that God wants for us right now. And so we put a whole bunch of stuff off. We live in the curse. We live below what God has for us because we just think, oh, in the end. No, the end now, fulfillment now. We believe God's word. We want it fulfilled in our life now. Amen? When? Today. 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 Yeah, well, what if it doesn't happen today? What do you mean what if it doesn't happen today? This is what you're asking. What if it doesn't happen within this 24-hour period today, as in July the 7th? Well, when we get into July the 8th, it'll still be today. I believe I received today. Honey, it's mine today. Today. He's working today. He's working today. So I'm not going to get discouraged. It didn't happen then. Well, if I play the prayer of faith and I believe I receive today, the 7th, then I can keep going back and saying, no, I already prayed. I already believed I received on the 7th. And if today's the 8th, if today's the 9th, today's the 10th, I already believed I received here. So it's mine now. Now when? Now today. Now today, now today, now today, now today. The 9th, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, now today. Now today. It's mine now today. Glory to God. I believe I receive here. I actually have it written down. The moment I prayed. And now today. Now today. From that point on, now today. It's mine now today. So I rejoice. Now today. It's mine. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so when it shows up, when is it going to show up? Now today. The end, when it's fulfilled. What does that mean? That means it doesn't always happen overnight. Doesn't always happen instantly. There is an end. There is a fulfillment. Amen? Say, there is an end. There is a fulfillment for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, the end. While it is said, today if you hear his voice, that's talking about his word, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who having heard rebelled? This is a question. Who? Who having heard the word of God rebelled? Well, indeed. Was it not all who came out of Egypt by the Moses? Yeah, the majority of them rebelled. That's why they died in the wilderness. Now, with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Yeah. And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest? But to those who did not obey. They had an evil heart of unbelief. They departed from the living God and they disobeyed him. So he said, listen, You hear His voice. You renew your mind with His word. Act on it. Be obedient. What kept them out? Disobedience. Disobedience. Matter of fact, verse 16 says it this way. For who, having heard, rebelled? Unbelief, rebellion, and disobedience. These three kind of hang out together. Okay? You see that? So verse 19 basically kind of concludes, ties up everything that he's just been saying. He said, So we see, we can understand, and we put all this together. This is our conclusion. This is what we get to see. We see that they could not. Say could not. Interesting. They could not. They could not enter in because of unbelief. I thought they didn't enter in because there were giants. Huh? That's what someone might think. They said, we can't go in because there's giants. They said, we can't go in because there's walled cities. I mean, the walls are to the sky. I mean, you know, you can't. They're so tall. The walls are so tall. We can't go in. But no, that's not why they couldn't go in. They focused on the giants. They focused on the walls. And chose to believe that. See, unbelief is not non-belief. There's no such thing as non-belief. Unbelief just means that they chose to not believe God and they chose to believe something else. That's what unbelief is. Unbelief is to believe something else contrary to what God said. God said, I've given you the land. God said, I've given you the land. Go possess it. Go take it. And they said, no, I believe the giants are bigger than that. I believe the walled cities are bigger than that. By God, I mean, you said you gave it to us, but apparently you have not been there. You didn't see the giants and you didn't see the walls. We've been there. 10 of the 12 spies said, we've been there. We've seen the giants. We've seen the walls. God said He's given it to us. God said it's ours. But we've seen the giants. So what are they doing? They're choosing to believe what they saw more than what God said. And the Bible says they couldn't enter in. They couldn't. They couldn't. Not because God wasn't letting them in. Their unbelief literally kept them out. So if their unbelief literally kept them out, you know what our unbelief will do? It'll keep us out. Our unbelief will keep us out. God, you said, yeah, but you don't know what the doctor said. God, you said, yeah, but you apparently you've not looked at my bank statement yet. God, you said, yeah, but you apparently you haven't been watching the news. I mean, there's just people are crazy out there. I mean, God, you said, but we have a choice to believe what God said or to believe what we see. And if we choose to believe what we see, we've positioned ourselves to where we cannot enter in because of unbelief. But if we choose to believe what God said, even though everything we see is contrary, if we choose to believe what God said, we will be able to walk in, we will be able to enter in, we will be able to possess and enjoy all that God has for us. And that requires transformation. That requires the renewing of our mind so we can experience transformation. That's what we've been talking about, transformation. Transformation is not for the weak. Transformation is not for the timid. Transformation is not for those that just want to be comfortable. Transformation requires guts. It requires strength. Why? Because this is why. We're going to have to believe God, because in order to experience what He has, there's going to be all this other stuff that we see. That's why the Bible says we walk by faith and not by sight. But you don't know what, you don't know how it looks, and you don't know how I feel, and you don't. If we want to live by how we feel and live how He looks, we're going to just stay in our comfort zone. We'll just stay over here. But God has this upward call, this upward invitation to increase more and more, to enjoy more and more, to come up higher. The abundant life is not a normal, average, and ordinary life. The abundant life is this extraordinary life. It's a life that demonstrates who He is. It's a life that brings Him glory. You know, when Peter filled his boat with fish, and then he called James and John, and they filled their boats with fish, and their nets were full. It says they were astonished. God's wanting our lives to be to astonish us and to astonish others, to bring Him glory. Amen? To bring Him glory, to be a witness and a testimony. David said, is there not a cause? And then he tells us what the cause is, that all the earth might know that there is a God in Israel. You don't win the battle in our own strength. The battle's not won with a sword and a spear. No, the Lord. It's a cause. There's a cause to come out of our comfort zone. There's a cause to press into more of what God has for us. There's a cause for transformation. It's to let everyone know that our God is the living God. He's the Almighty God. He's the Creator of the heavens and the earth. He is mighty. He is good. He's faithful. He's amazing. They want Him. They want Him. They just don't know it. They need someone to let people see who our God is. And that ought to be us. Amen? Their thinking always led them astray because they didn't renew their minds. An unrenewed mind will kept them in disobedience. An unrenewed mind kept them in disobedience. They couldn't enter in because of unbelief. Transformation is not possible without the renewing of our minds with the Word of God, and then choosing to take uncomfortable action under pressure. This walk of faith is this life of faith is to take uncomfortable action under pressure. I don't know if you ever saw Jerry Savelle do his little paddle in his boat going upstream. I think he did that at the Believers Convention. Everyone floats downstream. Everyone, life is floating downstream. You stop paddling, you start going downstream. We want to walk with God. We want to live with God. We want to get God results in our life. We're going to have to turn our boat around and go upstream. And it's not easy. It's not easy. Ask the salmon. Their eggs are laid here, and then they swim. They swim downstream, they go wherever they go, and they become big. And somehow God has got this GPS in them that when it's time to lay their eggs, they swim upstream, 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 up the river. Bare obstacles, rock obstacles, the water, rivers go in the opposite direction, obstacles, all these obstacles going upstream. Why? Because they have a destiny to lay their eggs there again. Exact same spot. And they're jumping rapids and they're jumping everything. It's hard work. They are beat up when they get there. It's not a vacation. It wasn't easy. I'll tell you what. A life of transformation is not easy. It's not a vacation. But it's well worth it. Our enjoying the will of God, our being a light and an example and a demonstration to others around us on how wonderful God is, it's well worth it. I'll tell you what, eternity is down the road from us. And it's not very far. The Bible calls it, we're here for a moment. Right? We're like a vapor. Comes and goes. So let's put all this, let's put our effort in. Vacation is coming, folks. When we get to heaven, there is no curse. I'm going to tell you what. Life is good. But God has enabled us to fight the good fight of faith here on the earth. To be a light and a demonstration. Let's do all we can to bring God glory as much as we can. Push through the struggle. Push through the uncomfortableness. To renew our minds. To change the way we think. To become more like Him. And then to experience transformation. Amen? The caterpillar cannot fly on its own. It needed transformation. There's a whole bunch of stuff we cannot do on our own. God, we look at God and say, I can't do that on my own. He says, I know. That's why we need transformation. Because we get transformation, then we can do it. Hallelujah. Oh, I can't do that. I know. Transformation. It's possible, I'm telling you. It's possible that we can do more than we think we can do. It's called renewing our minds with the Word of God and transformation. God working in us. He literally makes the change. Literally make the change. But we need to give Him something to work with. We must renew our minds with the Word of God. So, transformation is not possible without the renewing of our minds with the Word of God and then choosing to take uncomfortable action under pressure. The answer to unbelief is to hear the Word and to renew our minds, change the way we think. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. Verse 1. Mark 6 verse 1 says this. Then he, talking about Jesus, went out from there and he came to his own country and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, the Shabbat, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did he get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that such mighty works are performed by his hands? Where did he get this stuff? We know him. They didn't teach this stuff here. Where did he get this? Who does he think he is? Where did he get that? They were astonished. How did he get that? Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and whose brothers are here and his sisters? So they were offended at him. They were offended at him. The word offended, from the Greek word, can also mean stumble. They stumbled. They were offended. In other words, they stumbled. They literally tripped over. What caused them to trip? We know him. Where did he get this stuff? We know him. His family's here in town. This is hometown. We don't know where he got this stuff and how he's able to do all these amazing, you know. We can see. Just go on his Facebook page. I mean, go on. You can see all these signs and wonders and miracles. People talking about him. How did he do that? Where did he get that? He didn't get it from here. We know. Because we know him. We know his family. They went to schools here. And, his daughters married our sons. And his brothers married our daughters. I mean, we know them. This is all family. We don't understand it. We don't understand it. And what happened? They got offended. They stumbled. They literally tripped over. We know him. We can't figure out where he got this stuff. And so we're not going to receive from him. We're not going to receive from him. We're having a hard time believing him. Where did you get this stuff? And why are you and how are you doing this? It just doesn't make sense. And Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country, among his own relatives, and in his own house. And now he could do no mighty works. He could not do any mighty works. He could not. It does not say he would not. It says he could not. He wanted to, but he couldn't. Amen? Why? He could not do any mighty works there except that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and he marveled because of their unbelief. The unbelief literally kept him from doing what he wanted to do. If unbelief kept him from doing what he wanted to do there, you know what unbelief will do in our lives? It'll keep him from doing what he wants to do in our lives today. Same unbelief, same limiting factor. Unbelief does the same thing. He couldn't. He wanted to, but he couldn't. And he marveled. And then, so this is the second time Jesus marveled. Like, he didn't marvel all the time. He didn't go, wow. This is the second time. He marveled. It's like, this is some amazing kind of unbelief. I want to do something, and they don't even believe. They don't even trust. They don't even let me. So there was a few people, just a few people. But it was mass unbelief, except for a few people. A few people, at least, he could lay his hand on a few sick folk and heal them. But the majority, there was mass unbelief. Why? Because we know him and we don't understand where he got this. And so if we don't understand where he got it from, then we're not going to, you're the carpenter. I don't know what you're trying to do by saying all this stuff, but you're the carpenter. And so they literally shut the door to what God wanted to do because they just saw him as the carpenter. Just saw him as the carpenter. So what did he do? What was the answer to the unbelief? Verse 6. He marveled because of their unbelief. Then he went about the villages in a circuit teaching. He was an itinerant teacher. Jesus went out in a circuit. What does that mean? That means he went here, and then he would go 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 here, and he'd go here, and he'd go here. And then he would come back, and he would go here again, and he would go here again, and we'd speak here again, and we'd teach here again, and we'd minister here again, and we'd speak here again, and we'd preach here again in the circuit. He would just teach. Teach. What did he teach? Repent and receive the gospel. Went about teaching, preaching, and healing. Teaching the kingdom of God, preaching repentance, and healing all that were sick. Teaching, preaching, and healing. That was Jesus' ministry. Teaching, preaching, and healing. That's how he attacked the unbelief, this amazing unbelief. Just teach the word of God. And those that will receive, those will finally get over this, you're the carpenter, if they will just believe, if you will just believe, if we will just renew our minds, change the way we think, we'll get transformation results. So he had to teach the word of God just to get them to change the way they thought. They were thinking, you're the carpenter, I don't understand where you're getting this from. I don't believe what you say. He just had to teach it and teach it and teach it until people went, yeah, that's what it says in my Bible. Choose to believe. Choose to believe. If we just choose to believe. Yeah, that's in my Bible. Remember Brother Hagin, he talked to someone. What do we have here? Oh my. Brother Hagin teaching someone. And they opened up their Bible and it's like, huh, what you just said, that's what my Bible says too. We can preach and talk and go, people are going to go, oh yeah, whatever, if you say so. I mean, but then when they see it in their own Bible, they go, oh, wow, that's what my Bible says. Let's believe it. Bring our Bibles, read. Hallelujah. So the unrenewed mind resists God's thoughts and ways and results. That's what we see here, this unbelief. An unrenewed mind will resist God's thoughts and ways and results. So, Mark chapter 11. Let's go a few chapters back, a few chapters forward. Mark chapter 11. Verse 20 says, "Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, 'Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away.' So Jesus answered and said to them, 'Have faith in God.'" Have faith in God. Have the God kind of faith. Have the faith of God. How is that? I mean, what is that? What does that look like? Verse 23, he says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and be cast into the sea,' and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he says will come to pass, shall have whatever he says. Therefore I say unto you that what things soever you desire or ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." So, we must believe the Word of God. We must choose to speak the Word of God. Now, we're talking about saying, right? We're talking about saying. Last week we started talking about words, 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 words. We need to agree with God. We need to say what He says. Why is that important? Right here, verse 23. To experience transformation, we must say what God says because of this. Whoever will say to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will be done or will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. So this is, there's the word say. The Lord said this to Brother Hagin. The Lord said, did you notice that the word in Mark 11, 23, the word believe is only in there once and the word say is in there three times? And he said, well, no, I didn't. And so he went back and read it. And sure enough, he said, okay, well, he started counting. He said, whoever says to this mountain, "Be removed and be cast into the sea," and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that the things that he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. And he goes, yeah, look at that. Look at that. He says, my people are believers, so they're primarily not missing it in the believing part. They're missing it in the saying part. You're going to have to teach three times as much on the saying part as the believing part in order for people to get it. Get it. Like they'll hear it, but they don't get it. We must not just hear it once to get it. We're going to have to hear it and hear it and hear it. You're going to have to teach three times as much. Why? Because it's not normal. Especially talking the Word of God to create and cause God results. You know, we like to talk. We'll kick the tire and we'll talk to our, you piece of junk, and we'll, you know, kick our car and we'll kick the tire and we'll you know, look at the wrench and we'll look at the plate and we'll look at our chair and we'll just, you know, it's your piece of junk and your piece of garbage and I don't understand why I bought you and I don't understand, you know, we'll talk to stuff. You know, I just get the flu every time, this year. I mean, it's just, it's about that time, you know. We talk. Negative, we talk curse, but to talk the Word of God, to get God results, it's very foreign. So these three words say, these three words, that they're two different words. The first say is the Greek word eipon, and it means to speak, to tell, or to command. So the first word, whoever will say to the mountain, whoever will say, whoever will speak, whoever will tell, whoever will command the mountain. So this word is an exercise of authority word. An exercise of authority word. Now this word and the last say are the same. But the middle say is the word lego. And the word lego The word lego means to lay forth a systematic set discourse. In other words, it's this whole building line upon line. You know, and that's why they have the lego. You got all these little building blocks and you build. And so this word lego, whoever will say, this is the command, to the mountain be removed and be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe the things that he says. Believing that what he's saying, that he's building something, it's building, it's assembling, it's this building. And shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that things that he says will come to pass, he'll have whatever he says, commands, tells. This exercising of authority. So we must release our words to exercise our authority and believe that when those words are released, that they are building something, they are creating something, we are assembling something, we are literally changing what is to become what we want. We're building, we're changing something. And we will have then what we commanded and told and said. So the way I've got it written down here then, based on these three words, is we must believe, Mark 11:23, we must believe and trust that the words we are speaking, the command we are telling the mountain, is coming to pass. It's being built. It's being assembled. And we shall have what we are speaking, commanding, and telling. All right? So we must believe what we say. We must believe what we say. So the renewing of our mind. We must get God's word, right? We must change the way we think with God's word. And then we begin to speak it to make it come to pass. Transformation. Transformation. Why? Because, see, transformation is us changing. Us changing. We want to experience change. We want to experience transformation. And so we must change the way we think. Change the way we speak. So we can change the results that we have. Transformation. Transformation. So let's go to Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 23, 19. And we'll close with this scripture right here. Numbers 23, 19. Numbers 23 and verse 19. Numbers 23, 19 says this. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Hallelujah. Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. What he said he'll do, he will do. Amen? What he said he'll do, he'll do. It's good news. And so we need to align our thinking with him and then align our words with him. If he said it, he didn't lie. If he said it, he'll do it. So we need to agree with him, we need to believe him, and we need to just say, begin to speak and talk in line with the word. I believe I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I believe he bore my sicknesses and carried my diseases. I believe that I give and it shall be given unto me. I believe that he's made me rich, wealthy, and increasing in goods. I believe that I always and under all circumstances and whatever the need, am self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnishing in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Hallelujah. I believe. I cast my cares on him and he takes care of me. I believe God is the God of peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peace. Those whose mind is stayed on him, I receive my peace. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? Hallelujah. We believe these things, and when we speak them, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. So, believe what God said. So we wrap it up here just today. Believe what God said. Let's believe what God said. Then say the same thing, right? The word confess, once again, means to say the same thing, to agree with. So let's believe what God said. So let's agree with Him. Let's agree with what He said. Lord, I agree with You. Now, it may not look this way in my life, but I choose to agree with You, and I begin to say what You said so it can begin to look this way in my life. Amen? It may not look this way in my life, but You said it this way, and I want it this way. You want it this way, so I'm going to choose to believe what You said, and I'm going to say what You say to make it happen in my life. I want to experience that and enjoy that. So we believe what God said. Then we say the same thing, agreeing with God and saying what He said. And it will produce results. Right? Once again, let me just read Mark 11:23 once again. And then we're done. Mark 11:23 says, Whoever will say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that the things that he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. Hallelujah. We can have. Whosoever can have whatsoever. Amen? Glory to God. No limits. No limits. Glory to God.